If you don't know me, my name is Tommy Heath. I'm one of the deacons here at Talitha Baptist Church, and it's kind of an unusual sequence of events that I'm standing here before you this evening. Last night, on the way back from Miami, you know, we took a mission team to Honduras, and I have the privilege and just the honor to serve with some of our brothers and sisters here. And we were on the way back from Miami, and it was late. I'm thinking it was like, might have been around 2 o'clock. And I don't know if we stopped at a gas station because it was all kind of foggy because it was last night, but I can't remember exactly what it was. And I felt so sorry for Jordan. I was like, the man's got to go with no sleep. He's got to preach. And he's got to do it again that night. And I said, you know, how can I help him? All anything I can do is offer, you know, to take the night service. And so I did. And you ever do something and you're like, God, did you really mean for me to say that? And he was like, yeah, I really meant for you to say it. I really want you to do it. And so I had to ride home. I was just doing a little studying. And the passage that I'm going to be in tonight can be found on page 815 of your Pew Bibles. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 21, starting in verses 21, chapter 4, verse 21. Before I read, I want to question you, ask you a question tonight is, have you ever needed a flashlight and not have one? That's like the worst feeling ever. We were sleeping in kind of a dorm-style place at the seminary in Honduras, and, you know, there was all these guys in this room, and I'd probably get up 2 or 3 times a night. That's just me because I drink a lot of water. And I didn't want to turn on my light because I was scared I was going to wake everybody up. So I'm feeling around in the dark, and, you know, there's all kind of critters in Honduras. I didn't, you know, want to step on anything or grab hold of a wall and some creepy crawly thing, you know, crawl over my hand, and I needed a flashlight. And, you know, there are all kinds of flashlights. I even brought some this morning. Oh, not this morning. I meant this evening. Sorry, it was a late night. We got the old and trusty. Now, the old and trusty doesn't take batteries, right? Just takes fuel, been around forever. And it works. And it casts a lot of light. Then we have these newfangled things. You know, this one takes a lot of batteries. It's got a lot of bulbs in it. It's pretty good, too. And it works sometimes. Then we have these little ones. This one takes a really good battery. And when it's working, it's the brightest thing I've ever seen. But most of the time, it doesn't work. All right? This is the one I get aggravated with. Sometimes I throw it because it doesn't work. You ever picked up a flashlight with dead batteries? When you really needed one? Or one that had a bad switch? I think most of us have. And I really think flashlights help us in a way we really don't think about. Let's look in Mark. Chapter 4, verses 21. A lamp on a stand. This is Jesus talking. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? Now, what would happen if you put a lamp under a bed? Probably going to catch on fire, right? Right? And if you put it on, you put a bowl on top of it, what's going to happen to that light? It's going to go out. It's not going to be any good to anybody. Instead, you're going to put it on a stand. Now, what is light? I want you to write down these verses. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God begins when he's forming the earth. It says, God is light. Again, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So anytime the Bible talks about light, it's talking about Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Do we produce light? The only thing we can do is reflect it. Now, how do we reflect the light of Christ? By living for who? Jesus, by getting to know Jesus. The more we know Jesus, the more we reflect Him. The more people see Jesus in us.
He said, instead, don't you put it on a stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, this was right before Jesus was talking about the seed and the sower and, you know, casting seed out and all the different types of soil, which really represented people's hearts as they heard the gospel. You know, some people hear the gospel and it just takes off. It flourishes. It transforms their life, and they do all these things for God. Sometimes people hear the gospel and they don't do anything. It just kind of goes out one ear, or goes in one ear and comes out the other. And then some people just let the world kind of choke the message down to where it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really benefit anyone else. They don't really spread it. But it goes on to say, he also said in verse 26, it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all of it by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, you're probably thinking, well, this is good, but how can I reflect Christ in my life? How can I be as bright as I can? I want to be a bright flashlight. I want people to look at my life and say, there is something different about that guy or that lady. Whatever they got, I want it. Because we're supposed to be different, right? People are supposed to see a difference in us. Where does it start? First, it starts with a relationship with Christ. You've got to build that relationship. See, it's all about relationships. I had the opportunity to speak with two sets of parents while we were in Honduras. It was an awesome story, and I really don't want to ruin it for the team, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it's just an awesome, awesome opportunity. And I said, and I was trying to tell them that it begins with this relationship. You got to understand that Catholicism is real heavy in Honduras, and it's all about, you know, praying to Mary or praying through Mary, not so much as a personal relationship. And I asked some of the parents, I said, how many of you have children? Just about all of them raised their hand. I said, okay. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you would give up one of your children, allow them to die the most horrible death imagined? Such a death that you could force so much pain on, so almost the most pain possible before you kill them. And do that for something that they didn't do. Have them go through that for somebody else. You can hear a pin drop in that room. Nobody said anything. Why would God do that if he didn't want a personal, intimate relationship with you? You know, we've all heard, read your Bible, pray, right? We've all heard that. You know, I've heard that since I was little. But we don't really grasp sometimes how intimate God wants that relationship to be. You can write this verse down. In John 10:10, Jesus says, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. If you're going to have a full life as a Christian, you've got to have an intimate relationship with Christ. That's where it starts. He will get you through things that you don't have any idea how to get through. All of us go through things. Lori and I have been through things. All of us go through struggles and trials. And I think sometimes we think, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm serving God, I'm going on the mission field, I'm teaching Bible school, I'm doing all these things. God's going to give me a free trip. I get a free ride. Doesn't work like that. Sometimes we think that's how it works because we like to control certain points of our life. I'm a big control person. Hand me a TV remote control, okay? I'm going to control some television, all right? We're all like control parts of our lives.
But it doesn't work like that. See, you cannot serve man. You're not going to find that, you're not going to find that fullness in your life by serving men. Only serving Christ. You know, sadly, some people go to church and they do Sunday school because somebody else is going to Sunday school. They go to a certain church because some people are going to that church that they like. What happens when those people fall away? Usually that person falls away. And I'm not saying you can't have friends. It's good to have friends. Church is supposed to be fun. That's why we have Sunday school. If you're just going to service, Sunday morning service, you're missing out a lot. Because Sunday school is where you meet people. Sunday school is where you know people. Sunday school is where you make friends. How do you get intimate? Because people will fail you sometimes. Intimate love with Christ is personal. It's personal. You know, sometimes we feel like prayer has to be full of a bunch of religious words. And we have a lot of vocabulary in the Baptist church that we think you're supposed to use when you pray. Some people get all tripped up about prayer because they think that, well, if I pray in front of people, I have to get my words right. If I trip up, everybody's going to laugh at me. I'm not good enough to pray because I don't know all the words. I don't have a big vocabulary. And God doesn't care about your vocabulary. He cares about your heart. That's where it comes from. In chapter 11 in the book of Luke, the disciples were even talking about it. They were asking Jesus, how do we get more intimate with God? How do we know Him more? How do we get that relationship like we want it? And Jesus basically said, you got to ask for it. It takes time sometimes, but you got to ask for it. You got to wish that in your life. You know, if you have that deep personal relationship with Christ, you're going to want to serve Him. You're going to want to do things for Him. You're going to do things that you don't normally do. And I can tell you last night, the last thing I wanted to do was drive 10 hours to get back here. But your pastor and your music minister wouldn't take no for an answer. I tried. I really did. I tried. They wanted to be here because they love you and they love the Lord. You know, beginning of this year, it was a tough time for me. It really was. Though you know me, you know my mom served here for a long time. And you know, she did Bible school to Sunday school. I mean, she even went on a farm mission trip with us. And she served in a lot of areas in the church. And you couldn't get her to say one bad word about anybody. Even if you tried to make her say something bad, she wouldn't. And you know, she was struggling with kidney failure and our whole family was going through a rough time. Before all this, God was really beating me down. He was like, you need to just let some things go. And I had all kind of people questioning me. You know, Tommy, what's wrong? Are you mad? I'm like, no, I'm not mad. I just think it's time for me to step down. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I used to be the youth minister here. I'm like, what's going on? Do you still love Jesus? Yeah, I still love Jesus. I still love the Lord, but God's telling me to step down. I didn't really understand it at the time, but now I look at it, I think it was because God knew I was going to go through this time. My mother went from finding a kidney, and we were so excited. We were thinking, you know, she's finally going to get back to being the person that we knew her to be. No more dialysis. And I think if you remember, she couldn't walk down these aisles without wobbling. She still looks like, you know. We're thinking, what great news. She's got a match. And then it went from finding a kidney to letting her go home to be with the Lord. Having to cut off a machine. So you go from one spectrum to the other. I was angry.
I told God, you know, I said, you know, I have been everywhere for you. I have been dragging kids all over the place for you. I've been all over the world for you. I've been teaching Sunday school for you. And this is what I get. But God directed me. You know, I don't think God doesn't put things in your life without reason. Now that I look back at it, those nurses at the doctor's office, at the hospital, they were just blown away. Because everybody in our family knew it didn't end here. We knew even if my mom could come back, she would. They were blown away. And if nothing else, that whole time was for the people that were serving my mother at the time, the doctors and the nurses. I don't think I ever remember a doctor crying. I don't think I ever remember a doctor hugging me, you know? But it happened. Intimate love is personal. He's going to get you through those things that you don't think is possible. All of us go through different things. It doesn't necessarily have to be the death of a loved one. It could be a job loss. It could be something going on with our children. I think sometimes that hurts the worst when we see our children hurting and we can't step in because it's their burden to bear. And as the kids get older, I think that gets tougher. But it's personal. God doesn't complicate things. You know, to have a deep personal relationship with Him, He's just going to ask that you are willing. If you commit to getting more intimate with Christ, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to teach Sunday school. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to get on a plane and travel 10 hours over to some foreign country. It just means you need to be in a place that you can reflect Christ's light, the light that Christ has. Because we can't admit it ourselves. The only thing we can do is reflect it. God doesn't ask you to really change other than come as you are. You know, you remember? Do you ever remember a time when you accepted Christ? Did you really change a lot before you came up? Did you ever really change much before you made that decision? Or did, by knowing Christ, did that change you? He gradually changes us. Now, how can we be the people God wants us to be? First, we got to just chill out. You know, don't make things so complicated. Don't make things so hard. Everybody turn over to Matthew chapter 6. If I can find it, I'm going to flip over. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through about 14. This is the Lord's Prayer. That relationship starts by, first of all, talking to God. And you know, one of the things that I do, a lot of people, if you see me traveling to work, they'll say, well, I wave at you all the time and you don't ever wave back. Or you didn't see me. My sister says that sometimes because I got a one-way focus. A lot of times on the way to work, I'm praying. If you don't know anything about me, I'm a school teacher, so I had to pray every morning, especially for my patients, okay, because it's going to be tried that day. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is telling us how we should pray, how we should talk to God, because that's how it starts. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First, you need to acknowledge who God is. You shouldn't just casually say, hey, God, He created the universe. He needs some credit. Give it to Him. Acknowledge who He is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What can I do, Lord, to further your kingdom? Who can I reach today? Who are you going to put in my path so that I may further your kingdom? Place your will on my life so that I may be the servant
you need me to be. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as Christians, sometimes that's really the hardest thing to pray. That God's will be done in your life. Because sometimes we don't want it. We really don't. You know, I was talking to our missionary, Bill, is it Conley? Did I get his last name right? And we were talking about why people don't serve and why people don't do the things that they do, why they don't reflect the light of Jesus. I can't think of, by the way, I'm changing channels a little bit. I couldn't think of a more appropriate song than you sang, Dale. That had to be just God working when it says we're called to show the light. That was an awesome song. But you know, some people don't want God's will. I was talking to Bill Connolly, the missionary in Honduras, and you know, I was saying, you know, we blame a lot of things, and sometimes we say this is the reason we don't do things, and this is the reason we don't do what God wants us to do. And a lot of times we blame that on Satan, but sometimes it's not really Satan. Sometimes it's us, just not being willing to be broken. And God wants a broken servant. Just like a horse, he wants to have his will in your life. But we buck him every chance we get sometimes, especially when it's something we don't want to do, and we fight him. I've done it. I think we all do sometimes. Give us today our daily bread. Next thing when we talk about God, it needs to be we need to have a part in there where we thank him. You woke up today because he allowed it. You ate today because he allowed it. Everything that you have comes from him. As soon as he wants to cut it off, he can. So we need to acknowledge that. Forgive us of our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Have you ever had anybody to fail you? Have you ever had anybody to let you down? Have you ever had anybody to break your trust? Have you ever had anybody to hurt you? We do that to God all the time. We need to ask for forgiveness when we fail God, because sometimes God puts things in our lives that we don't want, and we fight him over it. So we need to be willing to ask for forgiveness for that, and being willing to forgive others that hurt us. I think it gets worse when we get adults. You know, kids can fuss and they're over it in a day. Actually, they're probably over it in 30 minutes. We let one little riff happen between us as Christians, and sometimes we don't talk for years. I've seen it. I'll be honest with you. There's been times I've done it myself. Why won't we go and reconcile with our brothers and sisters when it needs to be done? Pride? Could it just be defiance? Could it be that we're not willing to do the things that's in the Lord's Prayer that he's asking us to do? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need to ask God to not put more temptation on us than we can handle. No, he's not. All temptation comes from Satan. But we still need to ask for God's protection. We need to still ask him to protect us. You know, this is going to sound funny, but we were on the plane flying over to Honduras, and one of the things that they have for everybody that sits in those little cramped seats, especially if you've got a big guy like me and got shoulders and a belly, it's kind of hard to squeeze all that into a seat. So they give you this little movie screen to look at. And so I'm flipping through the movies, and Chips comes up. Y'all remember Chips? The Highway Patrol, you know, the motorcycles, favorite show as a kid. I love Chips. It's not the same Chips. Okay? Matter of fact, it was the first 10 minutes, though, it was very vulgar. I had to turn it off. Why did I turn it off? Why didn't I just sit there and watch it? God's given me the power to say no. He's given me the power to flee from temptation. We need to keep praying for that.
How can we get close to God if we don't talk to Him? You know, there's a difference between romantic love, like we have with a spouse, and the intimate love that God wants. I'm still figuring the romantic one out, Lord, I'll tell you. All right? But the intimacy that God wants, we cannot have if we don't talk to Him. I try to pretend, you know, when I'm driving to school, I try to pretend like God's sitting right by me. It has changed my prayer life. We have to tell Him everything. Sometimes even when we're angry. You don't hear a lot of people talk about being angry with God. You don't hear a lot of people talking about being upset. But as Christians, sometimes it happens because we're imperfect. God wants to hear it. God wants to hear everything that's on our heart, even sometimes when it's not good. He wants to have every moment. He wants to be there. And that's a difficult thing to do if we never talk to Him. It's impossible to do if we don't talk to Him. You know, in John chapter 10, verses 27, the verse in chapter 11, excuse me, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Why would he say that if he didn't mean it? Why would it be written in this Bible if he didn't want our relationship to be intimate? My question to you is your light working? Is it reflecting anything? Is the switch broken? Your battery's dead? Does it even work at all? Do you even have a light? You know, I think some of the saddest things we do as Christians sometimes is we're so busy hanging out with other Christians that we forget to love the lost. We want to point fingers because they're not like us. They don't listen to the same music as we do. They don't look as we do. They don't hang out at the same places that we do. And we forget to love them. Instead, we want to judge them. It's not our job to change hearts. It's our job to sow the seed. That's it. We can't change hearts. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Sometimes it takes a while. You know I'm guilty of this. We go to some of these mission trips, you know, I'm sitting there and I talk to parents and I do a message or talk to children and do a message and we want an instant response. We want to see people come forward. We even have numbers, how many people came forward, right? That's what we like to hear. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we all want to hear those things. We all want an instant answer to the work we put forward. And sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes our job is just to plant seed, to put it there. Sometimes it may take years before it's ready to harvest. Somebody that we don't even know may end up harvesting that seed or that plant when it develops. The last thing I want you to think about, after you think about what kind of light are you shining, is what are people seeing? You know, I remember when I was little, one of the first things I would like to do when I got up in the morning was put on my daddy's shoes. He had these big old ugly wingtips, wore them every day. Y'all know what wingtips are, right? He had a big old wide foot, too. We got feet like ducks in my family. But I would put on his shoes and I'd try to walk around the house. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Because I wanted to be like him. I haven't seen it in a long time because they don't make Pepsi in a bottle, but he used to take peanuts and put it in a Pepsi bottle and ride down the road, and somehow or another he would put it in the corner of his mouth and drink. And I would try to do that, and I'd spill it all over myself, you know. But I wanted to be like him. What are we teaching those people that are looking at us? Because I promise you, somebody's looking at you. You're teaching somebody by your actions. Somebody younger. Somebody's looking at you. Doesn't necessarily have to be your children. Could be just be a younger adult. Older ladies, older men, the things that you do are very powerful. People are looking at you. People are trying to emulate you. If you got a light, they're going to see that light, and they're going to try to emulate it. They're going to try to get that relationship that you have. But if you go around and you're grumpy all the time and negative and you don't really help out, you're not really doing anything, what are they learning? Are they learning to reach others for Christ? See, it starts with our own personal relationship. That is the only way we can send the right message. You know, sometimes the light that you're supposed to show is nothing more than to be an example to your family. God doesn't call everybody to teach Sunday school. He doesn't call everybody to go on the mission field. He doesn't call everybody to work at the soup kitchen. Everybody's got different talents. It may be nothing more than being a shining example at work of what a Christian's supposed to be. But God's going to give you those opportunities to serve. He's going to give you those things to grow. And if you never take them, your relationship's never going to be what it needs to be to have a full life. And how sad it is to go through the motions as a Christian and never develop that personal relationship with Christ and Him look at you when you meet Him. And He looks at you and says, I know you went to church. I know you taught Sunday school. I know you even went on a mission trip. But I never knew you. I don't know you. Get away from me. You know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in life that we forget about that Christ is going to ask us questions. He may look at us and say, you know, I sent this guy to you. Why didn't you talk to him? I had this in front of you. Why didn't you take it? I had a purpose for putting this in your life. Why didn't you take me up on it? Why didn't you talk to me more? I wanted to hear from you, but you just never talked to me. You know, if you know my mother, sometimes she would go 2 or 3 days tops. But if I didn't talk to her that week, she picked up the phone or either came over. Sometimes she would just make a popcorn call, you know, where you just pop up like a piece of popcorn. Because she would never let me go more than a couple days without talking to her. Because she loved me. My God loves me more. So why should we ignore Him? What kind of life are we going to have when we ignore Him? What are people seeing in us when we ignore Him? We're not setting the example that He wants others to see in us. So I ask you today, you probably came in here thinking, okay, Tommy's going to have a little short message and he's going to be done. And you're probably right because I'm a little tired. But what's your relationship like? When's the last time you really talked to God? And I'm not saying the formal prayer that we always like to pray, you know, people. When's the last time you shared with Him what's on your heart? That's what He wants to hear. How would you like it if your best friend said the same thing to you every time you saw him and only talked to you 5 seconds? And every time something came around, they just ignored you. Kind of like flipping channels on TV. What kind of friend would you be? I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I haven't been always been the best friend. But if we can't work on our own relationship and be willing to forgive others and be like Christ, we're never going to have a full life. And it's never going to be the loving life that God wants for us. You know, when we were in Honduras, we talked to a lot of kids. We shared the message with a lot of kids. I think somebody, I don't remember quite the number, Jordan, you probably know it better than I do, but I want to say, I mean, it was more than, what, 300 or 400, right? I don't know how many of those children were sincere. But we, you know, we shared the message, used the beads, they went through the sinner's prayer. It's not my job to count. It's not my job to worry about that. My only job was to plant the seed and make sure that those kids could see the light in me. And that's what we need to be doing here. What would your workplace be like if everybody let their light shine? What would your homes be like if we taught our kids to have their own light? You know, I think we'd have a lot less problems. We'd probably have a lot less worries. And I think we'd be a lot happier. You ever just say, you know, I want to be happy sometimes? I just want to be happy. I just want to be content and happy. That's really the only way to happiness. Because everything in this world is temporary. People let you down. Things change. Nothing is ever consistent but Christ. He's the only thing that's going to always be there. He will always be the same. He never changes. So let's take some time and get to know Him. And I want to encourage you this week, if you don't have a time that you talk to Him daily, start this week. Sometimes we all just need to be reminded, me included. Sometimes we need to dial back some of that worldly stuff and turn up to Jesus, right? We all do. I do. And most of the time when I do, I'm a lot happier. I'm not so grumpy. Believe it or not, occasionally I do smile. Will y'all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You. Lord, we thank You for the missionaries, Lord, that went to Honduras. Lord, we just pray that You'll be with them and as they rest. And Lord, just place your hand on each and every one, Lord, so that they may get back to those things You'll have them to do. And Lord, we just thank You for serving in a church like Talitha, Lord, that allows us to do things like that. And Lord, we just ask that You'll be with us throughout this week. Lord, help us to not only establish but grow that relationship with You each and every day. And Lord, help others see the light in us so we may not take our light and hide it. But Lord, have it out there where people see it. Not only can people see it, but Lord, people can learn from it. And Lord, just help us be the servants You'll have us to be. All these things we ask in Your Son's name. Amen.